From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall.
Eagles are about to take over. They let us back in. We're making a run to the Super Bowl.
And I cannot believe it came down to just like a ball hitting.
Lord, I almost passed out. The Eagles are amazing. Nick Foles is amazing. I'm wearing the jersey. I'm convinced.
We're going to win. We're going to go forward. Super Bowl, baby. Number two.
Shai, in case you missed it.
I did not, by the way.
You didn't. But if others did,
yeah.
The Eagles kept their playoff run alive this past weekend when Bears kicker Cody Parkey's field goal attempt in the final seconds.
This is it right here. Ball is snapped, placed, kicked, and it is
bounced off the upright and off the crossbar.
It is no good.
Yeah, when that happened, I just pictured, you know, a lot of the players will kind of motion to the sky. They'll say, like, thanks, God, you know, when something good happens for the team. And I think when the story of this game was Nick Foles, who, of course, came in
Saint Nick.
Once again for an injured Carson Wentz. And after that play, I just thought, you know, when Nick Foles makes that little sign to the sky, I think maybe God gives him a thumbs up or something. You know, he's got a direct line.
Like he parts the cumulus clouds.
Exactly. a bearded God, you know, just gives him that thumbs up.
That's right. And we know that Foles is a religious man. So he deflects any credit to the higher power. We see him do that all the time. But it makes you actually wonder, is his hand steadied by God himself?
Or, you know, does that steady hand that he feels he has just affect the way the rest of the team plays?
Yeah.
Today's show, Double Doink and Other Miracles.
Philly.com sports columnist Marcus Hayes recaps the bird season. So this season starts off and it's almost like it was a carbon copy of last season in terms of Carson Wentz getting hurt again.
Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz may have suffered his second season-ending injury of his career.
And Nick Foles stepping in again and winning these consecutive games and getting them into the playoffs. And then Sunday happened.
Left, upright, and the crossbar.
Oh.
The double stoink. And that's how the Bears season ends. The Eagles, once again with Nick Foles leading the way.
Yeah, it sort of follows the same pattern. Carson Wentz, who's been hurt even in college over the last 4 years, he's been hurt for a significant portion of the season. He was hurt as a rookie in training camp. Nick Foles, the super backup, the greatest backup in history, he's available because the Eagles have retained him. They didn't trade him. They could have traded him in the offseason and probably gotten a third-round pick, maybe a low second-round pick. But they didn't. They held on to him. They gave him a raise. They gave him a lot of money if they hold on to him next year, which probably won't happen. But you had that there, and you had this resilience. They just don't care about what happened in the last game or the last play. And that's what you have to have in the NFL more than the NBA or Major League Baseball or in the NHL. You can't worry about what happened because the next play is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the genius of Doug Peterson, the genius of Malcolm Jenkins, the team leader. It's the genius of Carson Wentz, and it's the ultimate genius of Nick Foles. Nick Foles is utterly fearless.
What is it about Foles that allows the city, his teammates, to rally around him? It's almost like a peace be still scenario.
Well,
he's a peaceful guy.
That's who he is. He really is. He's a devout Christian.
My faith was tested, but I just kept leaning on the Lord, kept praying. You know, it's a journey that we all go through.
And that's how he lives his life. He doesn't worry about football. He worries about being a decent guy, being a good dad, being a good husband, being a good teammate, being a good friend. And so is Carson Wentz. He's not a dad yet, but he's all of those things as well. But the difference when they get on the football field is Nick Foles is part of a unit, part of a synergy. He lets things sort of flow. Carson Wentz, as a younger quarterback and a more talented quarterback, sometimes forces things. You saw this with Brett Favre all through his career.
Yeah.
And that's the comparison you get a lot with Carson Wentz. So, but the magic of Nick Foles is he lets things happen. And he's also, the fearlessness of Nick Foles is rooted in, he's kind of playing with house money. He was ready to quit the game 2 years ago.
Season, I had lost the joy of the game, and I needed to step back a little bit. And ultimately, I decided that I was going to step away from the game, and I thought that's what was best. And it was
so he reminds me when he plays quarterback and when he talks to the press and when he talks to his teammates, he reminds me of those people who come back from the dead. And they smell things more clearly, and they see the world is sharper. And they have a freedom about them, their life.
Colors are more vivid.
Yes, right. Exactly. So for him, playing football now is, it's a bonus. It's something that he was willing to give up. And when you get to that point in your life, with your job, with your relationship, everything from that point on isn't necessarily easier, but I believe you can achieve more because you're not worried about not only failure, but you're not worried about underachieving. You're just going to achieve to where you can achieve. And that's a wonderful feeling to have in your life, to say, you know what, I'm just going to see what happens.
I heard he's also studying to become a minister.
I've always wanted to, you know, right now I go to seminary in the off season, graduate school, so maybe being like a high school pastor someday.
Yeah, they all are. And I don't mean to say that dismissively. There is a brotherhood down there, the practice facility of very genuine, committed, devout Christians who baptize each other in the cold tub or hotel pools. That's Trey Burton, the guy who threw the pass,
yeah,
was really special.
Yeah.
Now he's now in Chicago. He actually baptized, I think, 6 of his teammates while he was there because he is a pastor already.
Wow.
And on the field, like Carson Wentz or Nick Foles is in charge, but in the locker room, that's not necessarily true.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us.
That's a big part of who they are, and they don't exclude the non-Christian quote-unquote guys, but the ethos of the room is we include everyone, we love everyone. It's really weird, having covered sports for 28 years, to see these giant football men continuously talk about love.
I don't think anything could kind of separate the bond and love we have for one another.
Do you see energy coming back to the city? Obviously, that was a very dramatic win, but are people actually believing that the Eagles can repeat?
Well, the number that impedes the energy right now is 41.
What a way for this game, in essence, to end for Carson Wentz.
That's how many points they lost to the Saints on November 18th, and the Saints haven't really been trying the last 3 weeks. So they're not as dominant right now, or they weren't as dominant at the end of the season as they were during the season. But their strengths are kind of the Eagles' weaknesses. So yes, there's energy, there's hope, but I believe there was more hope last week than this week. But again, this is the kind of team and the kind of player Nick Foles. I mean, Nick Foles beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. How can you count him out against Drew Brees and Sean Payton in the Superdome? He's a talented quarterback. He's not untalented. And it's funny, the way that we talk about him is almost patronizing. It's like, look what little Nicky did.
Yeah.
Nicky is a good player. And I think we should probably start judging him on maybe a less forgiving scale than we are, because that's what he's earned. He's earned the right to be judged among the top 10 or 15 quarterbacks in the league.
I have to bring this up just because of it's a strange confluence of the anniversary of this event. 30 years ago, the Eagles lost the Fog Bowl.
Late in the in the first half, we saw kind of a puff of smoke coming out of one side of the stadium.
Longtime Eagles announcer Merrill Reese called that game.
Within minutes, the field was totally enveloped in fog.
It's another playoff game against the Bears.
The game basically was over when the fog arrived. The Eagles had no chance to come back, and it was still, at that point, a very competitive game that I, to this day, believe the Eagles would have won.
And some people saw this as, like, yet another example of God not liking Philadelphia. Like, he comes in and some strange natural phenomenon happens. This time it was almost the opposite. The ball, you know, that on that kick by Cody Parkey,
Who had made three in a row,
is like sailing right through the uprights, it seemed like, and then it just barely got tipped out of the way, almost like touched by what at the time
an angel,
maybe. In fact, it ended up being Trayvon Hester, but
no angel
at all. But I mean, did you see this as like some kind of cosmic revenge or something?
The scales of justice, right. evening out.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised that it happened, but I wasn't shocked that it happened, because that's kind of what I've come to expect with this team. I'll tell you this. I was more surprised that the Cowboys won in overtime on a deflected ball and scored a touchdown, which didn't allow the Eagles a possession. I was more surprised at that than I was Cody Parkey, you know, pulling another field goal doink. I think that's 6 for the season for him.
Yeah.
It was quite a deal. That's going to live in Chicago lore for a long time. There's going to be a book written about Cody Parkey's 2018 season.
Yeah. And that beget doink, doink.
Yeah.
Doink, doink. Right. It hit the upright and the crossbar.
I need to go get a t-shirt now.
That's
this.
Right. Doink, doink. Hashtag double yeah. doink.
After all these years, do you think that the football gods are finally bestowing favor on the Eagles?
Well, that assumes that the Eagles have been somehow cursed by something greater than their own ineptitude.
Fair enough.
And I don't think that they have been unjustly dealt with by the football gods as much as they've been poorly dealt with by their owners and their general managers and their coaches.
What about the fans, though? What did they do?
Well, you know, fandom is optional. You know, you don't have to be an Eagles fan. I know in Philadelphia you think you do, but you don't have to be an Eagles fan. And I will say this: the fans have never not held them accountable. The fans don't really act like Cubs fans used to. You know, we're cursed. The fans are just angry at the people who aren't getting the job done. More so, Annette, than you know, everything's against us, because at this point they can never argue that again.
All right, Marcus, thank
Marcus,
you for coming
thanks.
In.
Thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
And that's it for the show. The Y is produced by me and Shy, along with Kelsey Hansen.
What do you think? Does Nick Foles have a direct line to God? Let us know on Twitter, at Shai Ben Yaakov or at AnnetteJH.
Subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Go Birds!
Go Birds!